The scripture reading today is from Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. Now that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained.
Today we continue on in a short series in the book of Philippians. We're calling Pressing On today, Gaining the Prize. And last week we looked at this verse that I would say is one of Paul's life verses, if we can say that, but certainly is a passion for him. That I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the sharing of his sufferings, by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I noted a couple of weeks ago, it was last week, when my parents-in-law years ago gave me a Bible with that verse printed in the front of the Bible and gave it to me, and it's always been a meaningful verse to me. I want to know Christ. So that's his passion. So, you know, we think of Paul. Who was Paul? Often we think of him as a rather stern person, maybe a little bit of a legalist. He was a Pharisee. So we sometimes are jaded by Paul, and we hear about some things that he said or perhaps he said, and we don't know about that. But as I have studied Paul over the years, and I've taught particularly the book of Ephesians now for about 10 years at the seminary up at Tyndale, I've really grown to appreciate him as not a legalist at all, but as a passionate person, indeed rather charismatic. And he has a passion to know God, and that we pick up in this statement, I want to know Christ. But it also reminded me that who we were before we came to know Jesus continues to be a big part of who we are as we continue on, as we know him. That is my style and my temperament and my personality, who I was before I was ever in conversation with Christ, continues to be. And so Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was an academic. Paul was a brilliant person. He studied with one of the greatest teachers in Israel in the time, Gamaliel. That continues to be part of his life. And he's going to go on later and to say in this text, you know, at times we think differently and that's okay. We don't all think the very same. Because who you were before you came to know Jesus continues to play a part in your life too. You're converted, but that doesn't mean if you were an extrovert before, you now become an introvert. You're an extrovert then, you're going to be an extrovert now. If you're an introvert then, you're going to be an introvert now. It carries on. And so it's one of the reasons why we're all pretty different, even though we claim Jesus as Lord, and that's a good thing. That diversity is a good thing. And Paul was a passionate person before. He was a passionate person in terms of his going after the church and trying to destroy the church. He, you know, was the person holding the cloaks of those who martyred Stephen. So he was passionate, and he continues to be a passionate person even now, as he knows Christ. So I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's the setup for these verses. And now Paul is going to go on and explain a little bit about that. He wants to know him. He wants to know him relationally. He doesn't want to know just about him. And also that I want to know the power of his resurrection. I said that means we want to know the living Christ. That's what we believe, right? We believe that Jesus is alive. He's not just an idea. He's not just a name in a book. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection, both in the resurrection dimension and also the suffering piece, the koinonia of the fellowship of suffering with Christ. Those are powerful words. So we sit there for a moment, and then we move on and we ask, okay, what does that mean? So first of all, to know Christ is a work in progress. Because note what he says, not that have I already obtained this or have already reached the goal. He says, I have not there yet. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to identify with him completely in his sufferings, but you know what? I'm not already there. I'm not. He's going to emphasize that a couple times. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I have not obtained it. We are not fully mature in Jesus Christ. We have our issues. We have whatever those blocks are. I have not obtained this. So I speak about it in terms of spiritual resistance. I want God and I want Jesus, but another part, I don't want God and I don't want Jesus. Why? Because I want myself. I want my own ways. I say, your kingdom come, but I'm also saying, my kingdom come. That's where we live. And so we resist, and we can have spiritual blocks that get in the way, and we all have them at some element, and we're trying to let them go and allow Jesus to fill all those spaces or go into the castle of our heart and open all the doors, as Teresa of Avila used to say. What are the blocks? What gets in our ways? Well, it can be anger. Anger's a big one. Can be lust. Can be desire. Can be avarice, can be greed. We can think of the seven deadly sins and all the others. Those things can get in my way. What I was before I know Jesus continues to be somewhat. So whatever that was, I'm going to have to keep giving it over to Christ. So what are the issues in your own life in terms of blocks? Whether they're big and obvious for you or more subtle, doesn't really matter. But Paul is saying that's what I still struggle with. I have not obtained this, but I press on. And so I think even as we begin, there is some encouragement in that. Because if that's who we are, then you know it's going to be a journey to let that go. This conversion process, if you like, is not just the moment when I come to know Christ, but it's the continual journey of giving my life over to Jesus. In the first church where I was years ago, I had a chap who was a leader in the church. A great guy, really, in many ways. But he also had big anger issues. And it would flare up. And he had a responsible position in the church. And at many times, his anger would just boil over, bubble over. Everybody would always tiptoe around this one person because of this anger thing. It would always flare up. And I remember talking to him one time about it and saying, man, you're scaring people. You're getting people upset. He says, oh, that's just the way I am. I flare up and then I let it go. It's okay. Well, it wasn't really okay. In his mind, it wasn't so bad. But I mean, that's one little example. That's an example of resistance. What is our resistance? We can be encouraged. We can be encouraged that Paul says that. And so when we carry on and we get disappointed with ourselves, we can remember that, hey, this process is lifelong. Protestants call it sanctification, this process of becoming sanctified. We give up these areas. So that's who we are. So what encourages him as he moves on? The motivation is, well, Christ has apprehended me. The text says, Christ Jesus has made me his own. I want to know Christ. I have my issues, whatever they are. I think anger was one of them for Paul. Flared up a bunch of times. We have those stories in the New Testament. But what encourages me, he says, that I've been claimed by Christ. Or what we just sang, Abba is my good, good Father. I hold on to that. He is there for me. He knows me. He loves me. I have been claimed by Christ, and I know that power. So it becomes a positive, motivational energy here that we are accepted by God. Tillich says that we need to accept our acceptance, even though in spite of being unacceptable. We're called to accept ourselves, accept His acceptance, even though we are unacceptable, meaning that's how we feel, that's how we are before Him. So we need to give praise to God. That's our motivation. And can it be? We sang that. We sang that because it just tells a story that we are accepted by God and how we need to hang on to that. We belong to God. He accepts us. He loves us. And He understands when we mess up. He understands when we're the prodigal and we go away. And who is He? He's the Father who's waiting there at the door, on the path to receive us. He's looking for us. So we are not running to make the team. We are already on the team. I belong to God. I know Him. I remember years ago, I was in junior school, and I was trying out for the first time for a hardball team. I always just played softball, you know, with the big balls. And this was a hardball team. And there was about, oh, I don't know, 15 of us, 20 of us maybe trying to make the team. And then later the coach just came out to us who were taking fly balls, and we're now part of the team. It's just the whole bunch of us are like part of the team. I didn't quite get that, and I said, well, am I on the team? Am I on the team? He's not really listening to me. I says, man, coach, am I on the team? And then he says, yeah, you're on the team. Wow, that just like kind of blew me away. All right, I'm on the team, man. In those days, I had eye issues. I always had eye issues. I didn't know that when I was in grade 7, grade 8. And all of a sudden, this little ball, it wasn't as big as a softball, when it flew up real high, and I'd be so surprised because it fell with such speed. That's how I looked at it. I'm looking for it, looking. All of a sudden, I see it, and it's like right almost hit me. And then we started playing under the lights. Well, that was really a disaster because I could never find the ball under the lights. Somebody had just told me, what you need, Alan, are glasses. I'd be playing in the major leagues right now. It would have been terrific. My whole life got skewed because of my glasses. So I had my kids checked for their eyes years ago. You never know. I belong to the team, man. You belong to the team. And so that awareness that we are accepted, that becomes the energy to carry us on through the life journey. Because it can get frustrating, you know what you find at times? Meaning you trip up, you mess up. And you think, man, why do I keep messing up there? You think you'd be over that, but you keep messing up. And, I get encouragement that, well, you know, Paul was writing this. He's an apostle at this time. He met Jesus literally on the road to Damascus, and he still says, I don't know him. So there's some encouragement for us. Secondly, because of that, we run with determination. Beloved, note again, I do not consider that I have made it my own. It says it again. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So we see verse 12, verse 14, twice the repetition of that verb, I press on. I press on. And in verse 13, there's another interesting verb, and it's what lies behind and straining forward. It's only used once in the entire New Testament, once. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on, and I strain forward. It's the language of the race, the runner. Keep running the race, I'm saying. It's a language, I don't know if you guys watch the Olympics, but Andre de Grasse, he's running the 100-yard Olympic dash, right? It's one of all my favorites. Of course, he's up against Bolt, who's like incredible, right? Forget it. Just give it to Bolt right off and recognize that. We're all running for second. Nevertheless, he's running. And at the tape, he just leans forward, and it's that little lean that gives him the silver medal. He just beats out the third place just by a hair. Straining forward. It's the exact same verb. So that's what Paul is saying. I want to know Christ, and I press on, and I strain forward to know Him, even in the midst of all the distractions that I have. It speaks of focus, awareness. Kierkegaard says in Purity of Heart, to will one thing, to keep coming back willing one thing. We all live lives. We live busy, busy lives, right? You've got all things going on. All kinds of stuff. Family, business, you name it, you're doing it. But Kierkegaard is reminding us, as Paul does, yeah, but in the midst of all that, I want to will one thing. There's a center in my life to know Jesus. And that is fundamental. And that is what keeps me on the race, even as I'm engaged in all these other things. Will one thing. Keep pursuing the goal with determination. Paul is advocating, and that's what he's about. So that's a choice. I like what Earl Palmer says, forgetting what lies behind the past and straining forward to what lies ahead, the future, I press on. So that statement speaks to all these dimensions of our life, the three tenses of our lives. I forget what is behind me, the past. And I would say, I'm saying here, that that past is frequently controlled by guilt. That there's some stuff in our past that we struggle with. And we're not happy about that. And we can roll around in the past, staying with whatever those issues of guilt are. And Paul is saying, man, I'm not doing that. I held the very clothes of those who martyred Stephen. But you know what? That's in the past. I'm not there anymore. I leave it behind. Guilt, really, in the real sense of it, it's a legal term. And guilt really means you are either guilty or you're not. You don't feel guilt in a biblical sense. You feel remorse. You don't feel guilt. You either are guilty or you are not. That's the biblical sense. And Jesus has died for us. No condemnation, we sang. That means when he has forgiven us, you know what? You are not guilty anymore. Because he has dealt with your guilt. The Old Testament says he's thrown our sins into the bottom of the sea. I may still feel remorse about those issues, but it is not the same as guilt. Forgetting what is behind. We spend so much time rolling around in the past. You can live our whole lives, and you're rolling around in your past, and I'm rolling around in mine. Or, the second piece, we roll around in the future. He's straining forward. But it's not being anxious about the future. And so that's the other side. We are controlled by anxiety. Whatever that future is, whatever I'm anxious about, you're anxious about money. You're anxious about a job situation. You're anxious about retirement. You're anxious about hassles in your family, whatever that is. Paul says, no, I don't roll around in the past, and I'm not going to roll around in the future. I move forward, but I trust God with all that. I love what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, sufficient is the day. Do not be anxious about the future. Sufficient is the day. You know, I repeat that verse to myself every day. Every day I say that to myself. Alan, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day. And I keep saying that. And when I say that, I mean not just today, I mean also tomorrow, and I might even push it to the day after. But after that, I'm not going there. Sufficient is the day. You have got enough on your plate just to stay with today and tomorrow. Leave the rest behind. You'll get there. Jesus says that. I'm not making that up. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day. Wouldn't that be beautiful to be able to really hold on to that? Yeah, I know next Friday. On Tuesday, the dean of Tyndale is coming to observe my class. I've never had anybody observe my class in 15 years teaching up there. He sends me a little note on Friday. Alan, is it okay if I come to your class on Tuesday? Doesn't say, is it okay? He says, I'm coming to your class on Tuesday to observe your class. Blah, 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 blah. If you have a problem with that, get back to me. He's basically saying, I'm coming. I don't really want him to come to my class. It's a small class, man. I've only got 9 in the class. Half of them may not even show up. I'm going to be there, and there's going to be 5. I say to him, well, definitely don't come in the second half because the students are going to be presenting. At least come in the first half. But you know what? Now I got to think about this. I was looking at my week, and my week was looking all right. And now I got to think about this guy coming. But you see, I can be anxious about that. Or I can just say, which I have said, in spite of what I've just said, I'm not thinking about that today. Tomorrow, I'll clue into my class. It would be liberating if we could really take Jesus at his word. Today, sufficient is the day. Doesn't mean you don't plan for the future, but sufficient is the day. Third part, why? Because I press on. I press on in the here and now. The here and now, man, the present is all you ever have. You know that, eh? You never have the future. Whenever you move forward, it's always the present. It's all you have. So live in the present and know that Christ is with you. He's walking with you. He's walking with me. I love that little bit. Don't be hung up in guilt in the past. Don't go to anxiety for the future, but stay. Stay where you are, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Father, the triune God, will walk with you and will walk with me, and he will help us. He will help us. We were out looking at sites yesterday. John did a great job of putting a day together to look at different sites, had an organized the bus and treats and the whole thing. It was very cool. We looked at different places. Looked at a United Church place, and the woman said, no, it's going to take a long time for this to happen because they've done it already. It's going to be a long time. Well, we've already been in 10 years. She didn't know that. But you could worry about that. You could be anxious about that. You could say, oh, man, where will you ever do, blah, 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 blah. Or we just take it one day at a time, receive it, there we go. What do we push on to? We push on to maturity, the third point. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Be mature. The word there actually is to be perfect. But it really means to be authentic, to be whole. Move forward so your life comes together in a holistic way. Be mature. And we do it by thinking. And that word in Philippians is a key word. Uses 10 times for now in the book of Philippians. Think about it. But think about it is not just a mental thing. It's not just academic. It's let your whole life be engaged. Mature. Let Christ fill your whole life. That's where we're moving, into maturity. So it's not room for complacency, self-satisfaction. The goal is fullness in Christ. Maturity in Christ. I want to press on and I want to know Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. I was very encouraged yesterday. The guy that was leading us around the United Church piece, you know what? He's 88 years old. Wow. Dressed up in a nice suit. Very articulate. Man, I was encouraged by this guy. He's 88 years old. Imagine that. And he's leading us in all this. Mature. Whole. That's the way I saw him. So it's a good thing. Let Christ fill us. That's our goal, right? Don't be distracted by everything else. And then he ends with a second piece, and he says, at the same time, maturity does not mean uniformity. There is room for varying perspectives. Seek God's discernment. So Jesus is with us. His hand is on our shoulder. He leads us as we're moving forward. Good stuff. But recognize that we can all still have our own emphases, and God presses different things on our hearts and minds. It's okay. Trust and depend on God. We're not just rubber stamped. Paul acknowledges that. We can miss that, but Paul is recognizing that indeed. If you think differently, phroneo again, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. So what are we saying? We're saying it's a journey. It's a journey to know Christ. I see that. I want to press on to know him. Whether you're 30, whether you're 15, or whether you're 85, doesn't matter. I want to press on to know him, and I want to press on to maturity so that I become fully whole in Christ, so that I can live my life well. That's my goal. Let go of what's in the past and just keep pressing forward. So that's a beautiful statement, don't you think? That's what Paul wants. That's what God wants. He wants for you and he wants for me, wherever we're at on that journey. Let's give ourselves over to him, say our yes to him. Let him work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.